This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, guys, listen up. Crouch here. I've got a question for you before we get into this week's episode. Lads behind the scenes have told me that only 20% of our Wednesday episode listeners are tuning in for the Football Friday show. I want to change that. So hit that follow button and you'll have exclusive access to our world-class wit, football insights and too hot for TV content that didn't make the original cut. Don't be the one to miss out. Hit follow now. Let the good times roll with that Peter Crouch podcast. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast with me, Peter Crouch. Got the Notorious SID and Chris Stark with me. Everyone all right? Okay?
Yep, very good. Thanks.
All really, really good. Crouchy, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm really good.
On holiday?
Yes, I'm not quite back yet. Sorry. I will be back stronger soon.
All right then. Well, so me and Sids are together. Obviously, you're remote on holiday. What are we thinking for today's episode then?
Yeah, so honestly, this is something that we do. And I've talked about this before, but some of the best things we've ever done have come from these. And we get so many messages in from listeners who absolutely love getting involved. And we just can't get through them usually. So we've dedicated this entire podcast to the listener. We've got a messages episode.
Oh, superb.
I'm going to fire straight in, right? Because there's loads.
Okay.
Got a message here from Ollie, right? I'm currently abroad listening to the most recent episode of the pod where you guys have the food tastes better in different places. Although slightly different food, I always like to test out the local Mackies whenever I travel. And I've come to the conclusion that Hungary has the best one from all destinations I've been to. I know I'm not alone in doing this, so I just wondered if you boys had the same and which country is the best McDonald's you've tried?
Well, it does. It varies from place to place, doesn't it? What you can have on that menu. I know I've been in Spain previously. I always remember, you'll love this. I don't know if you boys remember this. I don't know if you remember this, Crouchy. Sids, you probably don't know about this, but a barbecue fell on my head on holiday. Nearly killed me.
It's the way you would have wanted to go, though, to be fair.
Exactly. But I remember coming out of that hospital and the first thing, I just was so hungry. I was like, I'll just pop into a Mackey's that I could see. And they had patatas bravas in there as an option. And I thought that was a nice touch.
Class.
Spanish McDonald's.
Yeah, I had a bandage around my head, you know, like a proper bandage where the barbecue had obviously landed. And
patatas bravas in the
remember
McDonald's.
Just eating a load of patatas
traditional
bravas.
Traditional Spanish tapas dish.
Yeah.
Can I just like kind of rewind a little bit? How does a barbecue fall on someone's head?
Yeah, it was all quite serious, actually. I was on this balcony and I see what you mean, because maybe the way I've said it feels like someone's launched a barbecue and it's landed. Do you know what I mean? It's fallen out of the sky or something.
Well, usually a barbecue would be at like kind of waist level, I usually.
Yeah, what it was a bit Final Destination, this, actually. But what happened was I was kind of going underneath the barbecue to try and get something from underneath there. And the hood of the barbecue was propped up against a wall and something's obviously jogged it. And the things come down like, bam, like the hood of the barbecue and landed on my head, but just missed. Like, it was the handle of it. But if it'd been the actual thing, I mean, imagine that. Imagine that.
So was you facing it? Was you turned?
Yeah, I was kind of facing it and it just like the hood of it just like landed on my head.
Right.
It was bad. There was blood everywhere.
Fuck me. Well, that's carnage. But like, so then you've come out of there. You've been in A&E in Spain. What region of Spain are you in?
This was in where did you used to have a place? Because I remember you asking where I should stay.
Mallorca.
That's it. Yeah. So it was there. But what I'm trying to say here is the regional thing in Spain. So I think every country has its own. Because I've been in the Middle East before, and they have the Macarabia.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like a song.
I was going to say, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, well, Cratch, you're out there. You could probably vouch for this. Treat yourself. But yeah, there's a Macarabia out there.
God, no. I've been in different places where they have. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know whether I'm just a bit... If you go to Mackey's, I want to get a Mackey's. I don't want a kind of Macarabia or...
Have you got one, Crouchy? Have you been somewhere where it's been good?
Yeah, I've tried them all over the world, Sids. And they're not for me, if I'm honest. I just don't think you can beat the Target roundabout, personally.
Didn't you do... wasn't one of your transfers, weren't you just waiting at the Target roundabout?
Yeah, exactly right, Chris. Yeah, I was at Stoke City and me and my dad went for a Mackey's, and the deal wasn't done between Tottenham and Stoke. There was still a little bit of logistics to do Tottenham's end and Stoke's end. So I said, right, we had a friend who lived kind of Warwickshire. So I thought we could go up there, we could have a cup of tea with them and just kind of leisurely go up there. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, we just drive back down to London. And I remember sitting in the Mackey's and watching Sky Sports News kind of on the phone. I had a quarter pound of cheese and chips and a large Coke. This is a standard one for me. And then I was watching it and on Sky Sports News, it was breaking news, you know, yellow bar come on. Peter Crouch has been spotted on a helicopter landing at a golf club near Stoke. And I was sitting there with a quarter pounder on a Target roundabout.
That's brilliant.
Madness.
Mine is in America. We was in Universal Studios, and you know when you get hit by the rainstorm that comes, and it came absolutely drenched us. So we legged it out of the park. Literally was in this little minivan that we hired, and we stripped off. I was down to my boxers, past a Mackie D's, and yeah, it was the chocolate milkshake in there was incredible.
Mm.
It was really good. But the kids remember that as well.
The problem with all these things, right, that happened, like, it just, what you just said there was you stripped off, right? So you walked into McDonald's with just your boxers on and all the chocolate milkshake.
Sorry. It was a drive-through. It was a drive-through. So I was sitting sitting my boxers in the car. And we done the drive-through. So yeah, no, I didn't go in half naked.
Yeah. So I'm gonna plow on with a message from Tom. He says, heard the Sheffield Wednesday bus driver chat on the podcast the other week, and it got me reminiscing about our coach driver on a United fan coach down to Wembley last season. I was heading down the M6 in high spirits until we hit a huge traffic jam that would have caused heavy delays if it wasn't for the legendary Abdul, our driver. He pulls onto the hard shoulder and speeds down it for about 5 miles past some very angry drivers who we wound up more with some classic gestures out the window. Abdul got us to Wembley in record time and was serenaded the whole way down with chants of Abdul is a legend and we love you, Abdul, we do. And of course, the classic, you're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the morning.
And I named him on a podcast as well. I assume you're not allowed to go down the hard shoulder here. And sometimes it opens up, doesn't it?
No, yeah, that's a big no-no, that.
Is it, Steve?
Well, because, I mean, I've never done it, but it's...
Yeah.
It's.
But sometimes if it's the right motorway, the extra lane opens up, doesn't it? So I'm sure that's what Abdul's done there.
Yeah.
It's just
hence why they're saying you're getting sacked in the morning. A couple of things really jump out to me on this one, and that is that... I'm taking that Abdul is a kind of driver that probably doesn't drive with a seatbelt on, doesn't pull the handbrake up at a traffic light, and doesn't put his handbrake on a hill.
you're saying Peter.
Yeah. I do that, you know, because that's what's right on the road. You know what I mean? I haven't got any points. But yeah, Abdul's obviously done really well there imagine driving a load of fans that want to get to a game who are drinking. It's just you. It must be so hard to do that. It reminds me of a story when I was actually on holiday and I bumped into Vinnie Jones and we got a cab to, we were playing golf and we were on our way to play golf. And I always remember this little cab driver. He was really quiet, lovely fella. and he went the wrong way on the motorway, missed our junction, and Vinny was in the front, I was in the back, and he just said to him, gone the wrong fucking way, to this little lovely, lovely taxi driver. Anyway, made him stop and reverse up the hard shoulder of the motorway. And as we were reversing, I thought we're definitely going to die. It was kind of veering. Vinny was going, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? Like, absolutely kind of, it was quite Vinny-like, if I'm honest. We came back. We managed to get back to the route that we were supposed to take. And then we carried on as normal. I thought my heart was in my mouth. And wasn't obviously the best thing to do, but we managed to do it. And we got to golf on time.
He is a special kind of driver that can take that many football fans weekly, yeah, with the pressure of getting there for, you know, ideally a couple of drinks beforehand. If you're up against it, even just kickoff. And then turning up at the stadium, we talked about this before, and being able to park normally in quite a tight, there's a tight turn that goes on. We've talked about sort of an Olympics of sports that don't currently exist. And I think bus driving a bunch of away fans, it would be great for every team to throw forward one driver and like battle it out. Do you know what I mean? We do it in a big old sort of arena, that kind of thing, bunch of tasks, and just see who comes out on top, because they are kind of an unsung hero.
I do feel like that travelling kind of away support, like groups of kind of men, like drinking beers and getting to a football match. I mean, that is on the train. I used to see it when I was at Stoke. Like, I used to try and get back down for London after a game. Sids was with me at times. We'd try and get on. I remember this particular time I was with Glenn Johnson, and there was, I think we must have played Millwall. Millwall were playing, and there was loads of Millwall fans on the concourse. And I used to wait on the bridge and thought, right, I'll just go down in my hat and try and sneak in on the train that they were on, but I'll just wait until the last minute and then jump on. And I waited till the last minute, went down, and then loads of the fans obviously recognised me straight away. And I don't know how they did it. And then one of them took my hat off and started throwing it. And so now I'm on the concourse going, oh, give us my hat back, lads. And they're throwing it round, going, wee, wee, wee. That's how I do. Got my hat back. Had a chat with them. To be fair, they were absolutely good as gold. Apart from one lad who asked me to show him Abby's nudes. But other than that, they were great lads. And I ended up having a great crack with them. So I was on the train. I thought, you know what? If you can't beat them, join them, right? I'm now in there. They know who I am. They know I'm on the train. I've got 2 hours now with this Millwall firm. And I have to say, honestly, they were first class. So any of those lads, they'll remember who they were. They were good as gold. And we ended up, it's one of those, if you can't beat them, join them. They got me a couple of cans. I sat, and they just sat kind of, you know, where you just can't even get out. So I'm sitting on the inside. They were like, none of them had first class tickets. They were just sitting in first class. And we had, honestly, I had a load of beers all the way down with them. And we had a great time.
Who do you reckon best? What about best away fans then, Sid? What would you say?
I sometimes think your away fans are better than home fans. I really do, honestly, because the ones that travel, you know, to ridiculous places and go everywhere. And people say, like Old Trafford, for instance, like it can be a bit touristy, right? You see Man United away fans, right? Or you play at home, and United's away fans, to be fair, it's a different, it feels very different to Old Trafford.
I was going to mention that's one thing that comes to my mind. I got 4 tickets for my father-in-law, is a big Man U fan, and I got him 4 tickets. So me, him, and 2 of the boys, 2 of my sons, and we went to the Stamford Bridge, Chelsea Man U, and I got us 4 tickets in the Man United end. I just wore a hat, and it was the game where Chelsea won 4-0. George, is that right? 4-0? Would have been 4-0, wouldn't it? Chelsea beat Man U 4-0 at Stamford Bridge a few years back. Yeah, it was. 4-0. And United fans sung the whole 90 minutes. Mm. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, there was no, like, they were just like behind their team. They were 3-0 down, thinking at half time, knowing that probably the game's over. But they were good. United fans.
Yeah, a lot of the big clubs especially because I think sometimes it can get saturated by, you know, almost like tourists, if I'm like, you know, because everyone wants to come and watch a game. They're not necessarily diehard fans. And I don't, they are diehard fans because they've travelled, you know, however far they've travelled. So they are, but they're not the kind of core fans. And I think sometimes the away support is, certainly at the big clubs, it can be better when you go away, and certainly in Europe and things like that.
Yeah, or cup final day. I mean, I remember the FA Cup, Chelsea against Liverpool in the FA Cup final. I went to a pub. It was sort of Baker Street way. It's that, the Globe, yeah. Crouchy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we know it well. We used to record there.
Did. We actually recorded the podcast. I don't know if we've ever said this to people, but it's, we did record the podcast at the top there for quite a while. But it's quite an away pub because it's kind of close enough to Wembley Stadium that you can all meet up and then all get on the train. It's only like three or four stops. But all the Chelsea fans in there, I was going to that pub to have a drink before the final. My father-in-law was a Chelsea fan. And as we crossed the road to go over to the pub there, so you're going from the station, crossing over the road to the Globe, all these fans started lobbing celery at me.
Course.
And Peter then, you know, I was naive to exactly what that meant and yeah. what was going on there, and Peter informed me.
The song.
Yeah, well, like, obviously, I grew up, you know, at Chelsea, and I remember my first experience of the celery was in, it was the cup final. Was it 95 against Manchester United, maybe? And I was like, it's probably my first kind of foray into pubs and things, really. So my dad took me to the first pub at Wembley. There was two women and they had celery all in their tops. And then there was celery getting launched everywhere. And I said, Dad, what's the crack about celery? And he was like, oh, when you're older, I'll let you know. And I was like, okay. I just thought nothing of it. And then obviously now I know.
Now we know.
At some point you get sat down and explained what the celery thing is and...
Felt like the birds and the bees moment.
It's the birds and the bees one, yeah. It
felt like the birds and the bees. You know, sometimes, you know, you get sat down and you get, you know, you have to discuss where babies come from. My introduction into all of that was a piece of celery getting lobbed around a boozer.
It's one of those, if you know, you know, though. There's a lot of couples. This is a strange thing, right? There's a lot of couples who listen to this podcast together. So whether it's car journeys or...
Yep.
Or just sort of chilling, which I really like the idea of, as long as you're not, you know, it's not escalating any further than that. But because that's just weird, I think. Don't you agree, Crouchy? It's
what, on a car journey?
No, I just mean if you get up to anything else to this podcast, there was a there was this girl who was like a TikToker, and she put out this video, and I seem to remember it going quite big because she was talking all about she'd got with a guy. They basically had a one night stand, and then the first thing he did as soon as that had finished was turn over, put his headphones in, and whack the podcast on.
Well, your this podcast,
yeah,
we got tagged in it loads, and she was talking about a fella that she had obviously slept with, and he put the podcast on straight after.
But yeah, there's a lot of couples who listen to this, and I do wonder if one or the other is going to turn around to the other person and just go, so tell me about the celery. And I do imagine that quite a few people are going to have to explain it now because of this podcast.
It's come back into light, yes.
There you go. I get the impression they're probably shying away from that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a myth, if I'm honest.
Message from Graham here. Do youth team players have to do an initiation when joining the first team, or is it just new signings?
What was it like for you, Sid, getting into the first team?
It was. I think it was all singing, really, wasn't it? It was all singing.
Songs. But what about it? So if you've moved up into the first team,
I think,
you still have to get on a chair and do
normally,
some singing.
Normally the youngsters, the first time the youngsters would be with the first team would be a pre-season. And it'd be in a restaurant, and it's more songs now.
Yeah.
They'll stick the chair in the middle of this restaurant. It used to just be when the team was having dinner, wasn't it, Crouchy, in our own private room, whereas now it would be done where there's civilians as well. And it'd be the whole restaurant.
Civilians.
And then they'd end up getting a microphone as well somehow.
Yeah, I remember it was the worst place you wanted to be was the first team dressing room when you were young. I remember going in and having to pick up the kit and having to get your boots and like nick them, and then they'd ask you for a chat, and it wasn't so much initiation, but I remember being in the Tottenham dressing room, going in to pick up my boots, and then we're like, so like Crouchy, what's your love life like? And you'd have to stand there in front of like 20 first team players and go, well, nothing. And then they go like, well, are you a virgin? And you go, well, yeah, at the moment, yeah. And then they go, well, like, have you got a girlfriend? And they're like, have you kissed one yet? And like, literally standing there and they're all absolutely buzzing off you. And you're just literally telling them about what you've achieved with the opposite sex. You're like, oh, come on, please. And like, it's nothing worse.
That's like an interrogation. Huh? You couldn't do that now. You
horrible.
You couldn't do
horrible.
Now.
Horrible. No. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I mean, that was so horrible to like be a part of. And then they'd say things like, well, how would you kiss like a girl? And you go, oh, no. And you'd have to try and practice it on something.
Well, what?
What?
You'd have to just like, when you do the kind of, the back one.
That one.
And then we got, shows your technique. We're like, oh no, it's not right. And obviously I'm glad it's out of the game now. I hope it's out of the game now. But yeah, it wasn't nice for a young lad to be in that environment.
You would have had some fantastic kisses as well that you were sort of working with at that point. That's the sort of irony of the situation. They were taking the piss with you, but Ginola, for example, I imagine would have been a fantastic.
Yeah, well, he would have been great if he was giving me actual advice.
Yeah, but it wasn't that.
No, too busy pissing himself.
There was, I remember the Chelsea players saying that back in the day, long time ago, they'd go in there, same sort of thing, collect kit, and then the first team would shut the door. And you weren't allowed out until you made them laugh, which is even harder, isn't it? And you've got to do something to make someone laugh.
Yeah. That's very tricky because they're almost trying not to laugh at that point. And it's really sort of sterile environment. It seems a bit unfair, that.
Quite a kind of like a harsh environment, I think, kind of football, certainly in those days. And obviously probably harsher previous to that as well. Real harsh environments. It's very much sink or swim. And I, unfortunately, on the other side of that, I saw plenty of players, not be able to cope with that, and found that very difficult.
Yeah, it's all changed now. All the safeguarding stuff now with youth team players. I don't even know if they even have to get up and sing. I don't know if it even exists now.
That is a shame. I think the song, I genuinely think that the initiation song really does integrate you. As I've seen kind of foreign players come over and then they sing a song kind of in their native language, and it does, and then everyone laughs, and then you kind of put your arm around them, and it's like it kind of really integrates you, I think. And certainly as a young player, like, I've done a few songs, and there's been some great ones, a few dance like numbers, and people doing it all together. I do think it does break the ice, if you like.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, we've got another message here. This one's from Jack. It says, did the lads ever feel like a ref favoured them in matches? Good question.
I wouldn't say... It's hard to say. I'd say I got on with a few referees. Mark Clattenburg I got on with. Howard Webb I got on with. Mark Housley. Do you remember Mark Housley? Mm-hmm. He was another one.
So would you have a bit of banter with him. But would you look forward to them...
Yeah, if I see their names down, I'd be like, oh, this would be a good day, that. Because really? I was in the middle of the pitch, and if they got a decision wrong, I'd be like, you owe us one. Like, I was getting into their ear, you owe us one. So, and if I got in a tackle, if it was a late one, it'd sort of give me a ticking off rather than a yellow straight away. So them three stick out in my mind.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think there were refs where I definitely think that they definitely favoured me. I think there's ones, if you get on with them, they definitely would say, like, it's almost like if you do a bad tackle, or, you know, he wouldn't do that. You know, like, that's not in his nature, you know, that kind of thing. I definitely think that there is that element of it. Like, if it's someone you don't know if that tackle was meant or not. Whereas there's a few of them where I thought, like, they know me. They know that I wouldn't intentionally do that. And I think that you do get a bit of leeway that way. 100% that happens.
Do you take advantage of their kindness, though?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah. Whatever it was to win the game, But they were good guys. They were solid guys, first and foremost. And they were good refs, actually. I liked all three of them refs.
Did you feel that you were special to them, or was this one way?
No, I think they probably had not a liking to me, but they probably, if they see my name down, they would be like, oh, for fuck's sake, we got him today. Mm. So
certain players did ref the game, though. It was like JT was the world's worst at refereeing a game. Like, seriously, like he cannot. He'd just be in the ref's ear all day, you know. And the ref would be like, all right, JT, you know, it's called calling him JT, you know. Like, it's not... Darren Fletcher was good at it as well, to be fair. He was good at reffing a game from the middle. Like, there's a few, like, good at reffing a game.
Did any ref ask for your shirt, Crouchy? Any refs? There's got to be a few refs that's asked for shirts, isn't there? Surely there is.
Yeah, I reckon there is a few, yeah.
But it'd be weird, the shirt that you got in exchange, wouldn't it?
I don't think you'd get one in exchange.
Would you not like that for one game, to get the ref shirt? Be a great gimmick if you did it on the pitch, wouldn't it?
Well, damn,
it's the kind of thing I could sort of imagine you doing, Crouchy, for one game.
It would be so funny. If I was playing now and I was doing this podcast, right, I would definitely swap shirts with the ref. I would love to do that. It would be so funny. Can you imagine? Imagine someone like Haaland just went over to, like, one of the refs and went, can I have your shirt? They swapped on the pitch at half time.
Yeah.
But did it in all seriousness as well. Give it a proper handshake and...
Yeah, proper. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Message from Aaron. When you were playing, did you or any of the teammates ever reach out to any pundits after comments they made, negative or positive?
No, not really. I didn't when I was playing. Since doing punditry, I've had certain agents or... people contact me to say, can you pump this player up today? Or, you
know, really?
Yeah, get his profile going. I've had that. Have you had that, Crouchy?
Yeah. I mean, listen, that all goes on. I remember one particular time when I was going through that tough time at Liverpool. I think I've talked about this before, but I always remember I was watching the FIFA World Player of the Year Awards and Eamon Holmes said something. Bizarrely, right? So I'm watching it, right? And bearing in mind, I'm not getting, like, any newspapers. I'm not watching any TV. I'm thinking, I can watch this because this doesn't involve me. It's the FIFA world, you know, I'm looking at Messi and Ronaldo getting their trophies, whatever. So I thought, I can watch this. And it was bizarre. It was just like, I was standing there. It was on the wet red carpet. Someone asked Eamon Holmes a question. And he said, Peter Crouch not here today. And everyone laughed as if, like, I was a joke. And I was like, fucking can't believe that. Eamon Holmes, cheeky bastard. So I was fuming. So then Stevie knew him a little bit. And he said, do you know this Eamon Holmes? I said, yeah. He said, so he texted him and gave him a bit of abuse. And fair play to Eamon Holmes, right? He said, apparently it was scripted. He said, oh, that was like part of the script, whatever, I've already called. And he said, look, I really apologise. Like, I know you're going through a tough time and, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, fair play to him. So I wouldn't say I've like rang someone because I'm fuming, but the one time was Eamon Holmes, of all people.
He's a Man United fan, yeah, as well, though, United isn't fan.
he is.
But, like, me and Eamon are like that now. It's all water under the bridge.
But that's so funny that you're tight with him now, and what a lovely thing to go and apologise for. But I find it almost bizarre to imagine Stevie and Eamon Holmes, how they've met and ended up pals.
I remember when Jamie Carragher called up TalkSport, didn't he? He called up TalkSport regarding England.
That was a belter. It was when he retired from international duty, when he was like, why are you doing that? I think it was, I know the fella.
Adrian Durham.
Yeah, it was Adrian Durham, right? So, yeah, I remember he was totally anti me as well. You know, but I just don't care enough about him to worry about it.
I think it's happened quite a lot. And I think the difference is now, you see it quite a lot where stuff goes out on social media.
It's more on,
And then players get asked about it in a press conference, or managers get asked about it in a press conference. And you hear, because you do hear a lot of managers now almost going for pundits because I guess there's so many, you know, there's so many channels, there's so many, especially when there's a bit of a clamour for sort of controversial opinions and that. And this stuff just goes out on the internet. And I think it's put some more players and managers than perhaps it was.
Yeah.
A few years ago,
yeah,
seems a bit more prevalent.
I remember JT having a load of was it on Twitter beef with Robbie Savage as well.
Like,
that was a good one. Like, you know what? It's like some, because I suppose with social media now, there's a little bit of like, well, you can have a go back, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've seen a bit of that. I mean, wasn't it? It was Madison not too long ago. I think we spoke about it on the pod where they were putting up Instagram pictures or liking certain posts and things like that. It's so hard, I think, though, if you're angry, to not want to call up a radio station or like the temptation is to go get involved.
I think the modern day player now doesn't even listen to the radio stations.
Well, don't say that, mate.
Well, no, I'm talking about radio stations in terms of football. They're more likely to have a pop at someone, a keyboard warrior, random on Twitter. Rather than call up a radio or go on TV and go, no, that's, or call someone out. They'll pick on someone's comment that's probably such a stupid comment that they've just got, oh, do you know what? It's easy. See what I mean? It's at the end of your hand, just go bang on the coach on the way home or.
No, I haven't listened today. And especially like with on social media, I just think the opinions are so strong, aren't they? One way or the other. It's like, I don't think you'd get that. You'd like to think it's more constructive, the criticism from pundits.
All right then, this is an interesting message. Have you got the one from Nathan there, Crouchy?
I have, yeah. Who would you start, bench and sell out of Mark Noble, Steve Sidwell and Scott Parker?
What's this start, bench, sell?
Well, it's like kiss, marry and...
Yeah, shag, marry, avoid sort of thing.
Avoid, or, is it? Yeah. I mean, I know what I would do straight away out of that.
What would you do?
Well, I would sell Scott Parker because he's got the most value there. I would bench the notorious SID number 9, and I'd start Mark Noble 7 out of 10 every week. Mark Noble.
I think this all depends on what Steve said. Well, I get if I get Reading, I think. Like before your injuries, like you and Nobes are on a level. I think Scott Parker 100% is definitely getting the most value. You're getting like, you're getting 10, 15, 20 million maybe.
Definitely.
I'm gonna go with you, Sid. Here, I was sticking with you, right? I'm playing you and I'm benching Nobes. I'm parching you here.
I appreciate that, Gaffer.
No problem, son.
Yeah,
that's less leadership right there. You see,
I'd have to agree. It does mean that all three of us are selling Scott Parker, but I think for legitimate reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
The club needs money. We need money.
No, I agree. That was a pretty easy one. Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate that.
Hey, we could do more of these, though. Feel free to send in a few more of these if you fancy it. peter.crouch@acast.com. Give us 3 footballers, or I guess it has got to be footballers for this. So what is it? Start, bench and sell.
Yeah, I don't know, because you could like snog, marry, avoid.
Okay, here's one. Here's
well, go
one.
On and do that out of them 3.
I'd snog Sid. 100%. I'd probably marry Scott Parker, but I don't want to avoid Nobes. hell I've got it in for him here.
Yeah, but you can't be nice about this. You've got to avoid one of them.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not nice. I don't want to avoid him. I love him. He's a top, top man. But, you know, I just think, you know, I just have a lovely life with Scott.
And Sid's has fantastic lips.
Oh, my God, honestly. Give me one night with that. No,
Steve Lipswell.
Steve Lipwell.
Why? Oh, please, why? One of those every week from why? Now on in.
Give us one of those every week. All right, let's move on, right? I've got an 11 here. I've got a meat 11. Okay, let's round it up. I've got T-Bone Courtois, Philip Bardsley, Frank LeBerth, obviously.
Oh, that's yeah. Great.
Courtney Porterhouse, Johan Ribeye. Very nice. Steve Midwell. Steve Midwell.
Midwell.
Frank Ribsbury, G-Sung Pork. We've got Beef Wellington Silver, Alexander Pato, Sir Lionel Messi.
Sir Lionel Messi.
Yeah, that's good.
That's excellent.
Mike Mignon, Sean Wright Phillips, and Paolo Lamchop.
I like that.
It's really good.
Good one.
All right, lads, we'll Chumbawamba next time, and I will be back in the pub. Promise you that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.